If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. I give honor to our pastor, to this incredible church. This is the greatest church this side of heaven. I love the family of God, the people of God, and we're a blessed people. Amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11. It's a lengthy passage here, but bear with me. It's a good one, and I think you'll keep your attention just fine. Beginning with verse 1 in Luke chapter 5, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of all the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Forsook all, amen. I'm going to speak to you for a few minutes this morning. And when Pastor had said it's Family Sunday and he would like me to speak, the Lord had been dealing with me for many weeks about this very thought. So if I'm preaching to anybody today, I'm going to preach to myself, if that's okay. God has given me a word in my spirit, and I believe that he's asked me to share it with this church today, because there are many who have come in here carrying a heavy burden. There are some that have come in carrying some fears and anxieties and questions. And God wants to deal with all of those things in the house today. And he can do it. He can do it before you leave this building today. Let's put down our Bibles and lift up our hands and ask him to speak to our hearts this morning. God, we open ourselves to you, Jesus. Speak, Lord, for we're listening, God. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive whatever your spirit would desire to speak to your people today, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, God, to receive this word. Help us, God, to apply this word. And let this word cut deep within us, Lord, and change us, that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I know my audience this morning, and I know that I am in Southeast Ohio. So I know that around these parts, everyone loves a good fish story. The miracle that we just read about in Luke chapter 5 could be one of the greatest fish stories of all time. It goes down in the record books. This catch that day was not your typical catch. It was a supernatural, miraculous move of God. And I would say probably the greatest fish story ever been told. These fishermen were accustomed to fishing. This is what they did. This was their livelihood. This was all they knew. and they had been toiling for long hours trying to catch fish without results. And if you've ever been fishing and you've toiled just a little bit and you've tried to catch fish without results, you know that it can be exhausting and discouraging. And I have some little boys who are growing up and they're striving to be fishermen. And they like to go out and fish, and it's not long when the fish are not biting and they're not catching anything that they get quite bored. And they're just saying, this is no fun. I don't want to be here sitting here catching nothing. And Presley and I, we have this saying that we remind one another and we remind his little brothers. It's called fishing, not catching. Sometimes you're just fishing and you're not catching a thing. All my life, I've heard this story that we just read in Luke chapter 5. I've heard it told over and over. I've heard it repeated in Sunday school classes. I've heard it preached across pulpits. And we always rejoice over this incredible miracle of this catch that these fishermen received that day when they were ready to give up, when they had toiled all night and they had reached a point of exhaustion. And yet the Lord stepped in and did the miraculous for them. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of God he is. When we're ready to give up and we think we've reached the end of it all, that's when he steps on the scene. And in just 1 minute, the whole situation had turned around. And now suddenly the supernatural had taken place. I don't know if those fishermen that day were sitting there in their boats expecting a miracle. They weren't looking for a miracle. They were just doing what they always did day in and day out. And it just so happened that this particular time, it wasn't a very good catch. And when Jesus showed up, he was ready to step into their world, to step onto their job, to step into their workplace and say, wait a second, I'm going to speak and it's all going to change. And we sang about it this morning. He can turn it all around just in an instant. Anything that we think the enemy has brought against us for evil, the Lord will turn it around and he'll make it good. Amen. Do we believe that this morning? Amen. And so when I've heard this story, I've rejoiced over this incredible miracle. And we should rejoice. It's amazing. It's the greatest fish story ever told. It's incredible. So we're rejoicing. We're thankful for what the Lord has done here. But recently, I was reading this story, and the Lord showed me something in a couple of these verses, and I took a pause, and I took it immediately to prayer. Lord, it can't be. Show me what you want me to see here. Anybody ever done that? When we read the same stories we've read in Scripture many, many times over, and it's like something just stands out at you and screams at you, and the Lord is trying to speak to you. He wants you to see something that maybe you've not seen before. Well, that's what happened to me recently. And it was in a couple of these passages that I had read many times that something stood out to me. And that's the title of my sermon today, The Missing S. We're missing an S in this passage of Scripture. And I'll explain myself here shortly. I know many of you are looking at me with puzzled looks. What? The Bible's missing a letter? No, it is not. The Bible is perfect, amen? Amen. It's the inspired word of God. But we're missing an S, and a very important S, in this scripture. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus had spoken, and he told them, launch out into the deep. They were on the shore. They were done. They were finished. They were cleaning their nets. They were calling it quits. They were throwing in the towel, they were tired and discouraged, and they were finished. But Jesus shows up and tells them, no, I don't think so. Push back out into the deep. Jesus was challenging their faith that day. He was launching them out into deeper waters, and he was commanding them to go back out and fish, even though they were weary and they were ready to quit. Have you ever been weary and ready to quit? Have you ever been so tired? And I'm not talking about just physically tired, but tired in your spirit, that you are just ready to throw in the towel. I'm preaching to somebody today. I feel it. You're carrying a spirit of heaviness, and you're carrying it day in and day out, and you're ready to quit. You're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to just put those nets on the shore and clean them up and say, this is it, I'm done. We've all been there. We all face seasons of weariness, seasons when we're discouraged, seasons when we just haven't really seen the Lord working in our lives, seasons when we're just feel like we're just going at it alone and we're doing it all in our own strength and it's just not getting us anywhere. Peter responds to Jesus that day and he points out the obvious. Peter responds and says, Master, don't know if you know this, but, and I'm paraphrasing, we've worked all night long and we've caught nothing. You know, he points out the obvious here, and I'm sure Jesus already knew that in his infinite wisdom, but he says, you know, we kind of don't think we're going to catch anything because we've already done this and we've already fished this spot and, you know, it's just not working. And out of respect, Peter adds to that statement, but at your word, I'll let down the net. Yeah. And we praise Peter for that. What faith! We rejoice that he had faith in the Lord that day and that he obeyed the Lord and that a miracle was seen that day. The greatest fish story of all time happened because Peter had faith and he obeyed. But recently when I was reading this passage of scripture, the Lord dropped this single letter in my spirit as I was reading this miracle fish story. And I'd never seen it before, and maybe you have and I'm just slow, so bear with me. It took me 39 years to find this in the scripture. Maybe you already know. But this single letter just stood out to me and jumped off the pages into my spirit. And I felt the Lord just quickening me and saying, I want to show you something. The single letter that matters so immensely and is worth us talking about today. It is this little tiny lowercase letter S, and it matters so much in this story. Look at verse 4, when Jesus commands Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. He tells him, if you will go back out and you will do what I tell you when it doesn't make any sense and when you're tired and when you're weary and you are discouraged, if you will go back out and you will let down your nets, plural, nets. Let them down, Peter. All those nets that you've been cleaning and you've been working on, put them down in the water and see what I can do. And we rejoice over Peter's obedience and his faith. But if you read verse 5, his response, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Singular. One net. Not the nets that Jesus had commanded him to let down. But Peter agreed, okay, I'm tired, I'm discouraged, this makes no sense, I'm really wasting my time here, but I'll obey him, I'll answer the call, and I'll let down, but I don't think I can go all in. I think just one net will suffice today. As the story unfolds, Peter put a single net over the side of that boat that day. And as we know, this net was not going to suffice. This one net was not going to do the job. It could not hold the miracle that Jesus had for them. This net began breaking because it could not contain the promised miracle. It wasn't enough. Yes, Peter and the others saw a miracle that day, but Peter's response is one of half-hearted obedience. Yes, he obeyed the Lord. Yes, he did what the Lord had told him to do. But Peter didn't go all in that day. He only half obeyed. He only put part of his net in. He wasn't willing to sacrifice it all. He wasn't willing to go all in. But he said, you know, okay, I'll just do a little bit. Is that enough, Lord? The Lord began to deal with my heart when I noticed this one little missing letter at the end of Peter's statement. Why, Peter? Why just one net? And I'm not here to talk down on Peter, because I know he gets that a lot, but he's my favorite disciple. Can't wait to get to heaven and have a cup of coffee with him. But Peter, why? Why just one net? You were told to cast them more than one, plural, cast your nets. Why? You know, the Lord, he showed me in this scripture, you know, let's be careful. Hold on, don't jump all over Peter that day. Hold on a minute. The Lord told me Peter was weary. I've been weary. Have you ever been weary? Can I get a testimony in the house? Have you ever been weary? Peter was discouraged. He'd fished all night and nothing had happened. I've been discouraged, Peter. Is there a witness in the house? Have you ever felt that heaviness of discouragement on your spirit? That you just don't know if you can put one foot in front of the other? That you just don't know if you can go on? Peter was discouraged. And it's easy for us, 2,000 years later, to read this passage of scripture and just say, Peter, what in the world? You were not paying attention here. You didn't follow the instructions. But how many times are we weary? Are we tired? Are we done? Are we checked out? Are we discouraged? And the Lord says, no, go a little deeper. Push a little further. Pray a little harder. Keep believing a little bit more. Keep trusting me a little bit more. We've all been there. Peter had already abandoned his boat that day. And the scripture tells us that the fishermen, they weren't even in the boat. That's how done they were. They were like, stick a fork in me, I'm done, okay? They were already on the side of the shoreline, washing and cleaning their nets. They were done. They were checked out. And the Lord told me Peter was checked out. He was done. I've been there. I've been Peter. I've given up all hope and I've checked out. I just knew that there was nothing more I could do about the situation, and it was completely out of my control. I've stood on a shoreline of life circumstances and I've looked at my nets and I said, well, we might as well just clean this mess up because nothing's going to happen. I've been there. But when Jesus stepped on that scene and he spoke some very peculiar instructions to those fishermen that day, and he told them, oh, it looks like you're done here. Nope, get back in the boat. Get back in that boat and you go back out into deep water and you get to work. And I've been there. I've been Peter. I was discouraged and defeated, and I was washing my nets, and I just wanted to go home. And Jesus said, oh, no, you don't. You have done all you can do, and you are tired, and you are weary, so now it's my turn. Let me show you what I can do. I want us to take notice today because we are entering into the most exciting season of this church's history. In the coming weeks, you're going to be hearing about the past, the present, and the future of where this church is going. And if you are a part of this church body today, You are so blessed to be part of history in the making. This is an incredible, incredible time. God has brought you to this church for such a time as this. And you are here on purpose. You are not here on accident. God has purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has purpose for your family, for your children, for your children's children. God has a plan. Amen. And the thing about it is, once I heard a story about a young minister who said, you know, I might tell this wrong. I probably shouldn't even tell it. Said, you know, God does not need you. He's got everything. He can do it all. You know, he doesn't need you. The truth of the matter is God needs you. He wants to partner with you. Notice that Jesus used these fishermen to perform a miracle. Now, you and I both know he's the creator of the universe. He could have spoke to all those fish in that lake that day, and he could have just flopped them all right up on top of the shore, but he didn't. He invited, this is so powerful if we can just get this. He invited these tired, stinky fishermen to partner up with him for a miracle. He didn't do it just to do it, but he invited them, step in with me, and together we will see a miracle. All he needed from them was two little things, faith and obedience. Jesus is wanting to partner up with you. Yes, you. I'm talking to everybody in this room today. Jesus is wanting to partner up with you to do the miraculous. Jesus needs you. He needs your family. He needs your giftings. He needs your talents. He needs your love. He needs your personality. He needs your arms to reach. He needs you. He's not going to flop all the fish up on the shore. He's going to send some fishermen out to help him, to be co-laborers with him, and to see his will accomplished in this last hour. Jesus wants to partner with you to do the miraculous. He just needs your faith and your obedience to form this partnership. Peter had the faith part. Peter believed. And I know we look at that story now and we say, well, Peter, where's your faith? He said, nets. But Peter had the faith part. If he didn't have faith, he wouldn't even have given Jesus' strange command a second thought. He wouldn't have even listened to it. Peter even obeyed the Lord that day. He got one of those old nets and he threw it out. So what is this missing S in this old fish story? This little tiny letter the Lord showed me. I'll tell you what that is. He has faith and he has obedience. But that little tiny lowercase s at the end of the word net is called unbelief. Doubt. That little snippet in that story shows us Peter had faith. He believed. Peter obeyed. But he had some doubts. Like the man who brought his child before the Lord, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Yes, I say to you today that you can have faith and doubt in the same mind, in the same heart, in the same spirit. And although they contradict one another, yes, we can experience doubt. We can experience those moments of unbelief. Some of us in this room, you have believed and you've had faith, but you're sitting here today and you're wrestling with some weariness and discouragement. You're wrestling with doubt. You're wrestling with unbelief. And God has sent me to stand behind this pulpit today to tell you that He knows. And He sees that battle in your mind. And it doesn't worry Him one bit. Because He can still use you. He can still partner with you. He can still anoint you. And you can and will see the miraculous take place in your life, in your family, in your home, in your children. When you look through the scriptures, I don't see Jesus ever shying away from someone's little piece of doubt. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Okay, then let's start there. You've had faith, you've believed, but you're wrestling. You're wrestling with this thing that we have wrestled with in our minds for all of time. We have times when, yes, we believe in God. Yes, we have faith in what He can do. But sometimes there's just questions and there's just things we don't understand. And there's just discouragement and weariness. And we have to wrestle our way through those seasons. We can't stay there. We have to let God prove Himself to us time and time again. And He's faithful to do it. Here's the thing about doubt. Doubt says, I know God can do it, but I don't know if He will. I know God can do it for them, but I'm not sure that He would do that for me. Doubt is future-based. It's an assumption about what is to come. Many times, though, it comes from a perspective of looking back, being discouraged at toiling all night, being tired and weary at what you've just come through. Doubt will enter in. Doubt causes us to fear what the Lord has commanded us to do. Like those fishermen that day, it doesn't make any sense, but the Lord gives a command. And if we aren't careful, doubt will leave us stuck and frozen right in place. Doubt will cause us to freeze. Well, the Lord's saying to do this, but I just don't know. I'm frozen. I have no response. Doubt will cause us to say things like, well, I've never seen that done before, so I don't know if it's even possible. Doubt will cause us to lean more on our own understanding rather than trusting God in all of His ways. Doubt will cause us to focus our attention on the problem and not on the one who has the solution. Doubt will cause us to stand on the shoreline and wash some dirty old nets and look at what a mess we've got, rather than looking up and seeing Jesus, the one who is the answer and can perform anything for you according to His riches and glory. Doubt will cause us to miss out on all that God has for us. Doubt is a battle in our mind. And if we today could just purpose that we're going to get things right here, between our ears, if we're going to get our thoughts right, if we're going to get our thoughts in alignment with God, and we're going to speak faith and not doubt, what could God do in this church? What could God do in your home? What could He do in your life, on your job? What could God do if we would cast aside all doubt If we could deal with this problem up here, that stinking thinking, and if we could give that to the Lord and say, I will trust and I will obey. Doubt is an ugly thing that we all have to deal with. Nobody is exempt from it. Raise your hand in this place if you have never had a single doubt, fear, or question in your life. Look at all those hands. Nobody is exempt. And so many times in the church, we get fearful. We get a little scared when somebody has some doubt. And so we even try to like keep our doubts to ourselves, you know, like, oh, you know, no, I'm not dealing with doubt. I'm a powerful Christian and I have all the faith. But we all wrestle with it. We all deal with it from time to time. Every single Christian needs to wrestle with it, needs to deal with it. Every one of us needs to say, yes, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. We need to ask the Lord to take care of this doubt problem in our minds. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Anybody ever had to do that? Encourage yourself in the Lord. When you start feeling that way, turn on some worship music in your home and invite the presence of the Lord in and begin to encourage yourself. No, I won't let doubt dictate my thoughts and make me frozen in place, but I will trust the Lord and I will obey him whatever he asks of me. Even the disciples of Jesus had to find their way through this dark, discouraging tunnel we call doubt. At the very moment when belief should have come easiest to them, when the risen Christ himself stood in front of them on a mountaintop in Galilee, Matthew records that some doubted. It was right in front of them. These were followers of Jesus, and they had doubts. So we're not alone. And as a matter of fact, today, I think that we're in very good company. The question today is not, will I wrestle with doubt? Will this happen to me? Will I have this problem? No, the real question is, how will I respond to my doubt and my unbelief? Will I choose to trust him? And will I obey every word that he asks of me, right down to the letter S? Will I obey every word that he speaks over my life? Or will I let doubt cause me to hunker down, cause me to be frozen in place? Yes, we all deal with doubt. And yes, it's not something we like to talk about, because we're all such mature, holy Christians. But a little bit of doubt, let me encourage you today, right? And let me affirm your faith. You have faith in God. If you didn't have faith, you would not be sitting here on a Sunday morning in these seats with this congregation. You have faith. And so a little bit of doubt is not what is going to stop us. A little bit of doubt doesn't discredit us and knock us off the list for miracles. We just read the story, and we did not see Jesus stepping on the scene and saying, oh, Peter, I don't know if you heard me, but I said nets more than one, and so I'm sensing a little doubt here, so you know what? You're done. You're on your own. No fish for you. A little bit of doubt did not discredit those men from receiving a miracle. If it did, Peter would not have caught all those fish that day. He never would have even walked on water. And he never would have preached the first message of the New Testament church. Doubt didn't stop Peter, and it won't stop you. We have a choice to make when we experience this doubt. We have a choice. So you've come today and you've got some doubts and you've got some questions and you have faith and you believe. I can give you the cure for doubt today. And it's not easy. It's easier said than done. But it's obedience. It's obedience even when I don't understand. It's obedience. It's get back to work and don't give up. Don't let your doubt cause you to give up. Don't let it keep you from receiving all that God has for you today. If we trust Him and we obey Him, even when we're doubting, He always comes through every time. We have to make up our mind today. I will not let fear and doubt hold me back. I will trust the Lord and I will obey. I want to encourage somebody who walked in here with despair and discouragement. I want to encourage somebody that walked in here thinking, I'm done. I'm walking away. I'm giving up. I'm going to throw those nets up on the shore, wash them off, checking out. Don't you dare give up. Don't give up in your discouragement. Don't start packing those nets just yet, because your story is not over. And Jesus is getting ready to step onto your shoreline, and He has some instructions for you. And if we could just get a yes in our spirit, yes, Lord, if we could just get a yes, Lord, in our spirit today, then we will see the miraculous. If you want that, can you stand to your feet and just say, yes, Lord, yes, Jesus, even when I don't feel it, God, even when I don't see it, Lord, my answer will be yes. My answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It might not make any sense to us, and it might not look good in the situation. It actually might look terrible today. But if you get out those nets and you go out into deeper waters, and if you will just throw them all in. That's what He wants from us today. He doesn't want half-hearted obedience. He doesn't want just one net from you. He wants it all. He wants the net of your marriage. He wants the net of your family, of your children. He wants the net of your finances. He wants the net of your job. He wants the net of your kingdom work and your ministry. He wants the net of your lost loved ones. He wants you to just say, God, I'm all in. It might not make any sense to you, but if we could just go ahead and decide right now in this moment, as we come to the altar, right now, I'm going to go all in. I'm going all in, Lord. My doubt has made me want to just throw one little net in, but I'm going to trust You and I'm going to obey and I'm going to go all in. I can assure you that every single net you are willing to throw in that water today is going to come up full. It's going to come up with the blessings of God. It's going to come up with the answer to your prayers. It's going to come up full of the miraculous and the supernatural. It's going to come up with things that you could never do or accomplish on your own. Every net that you decide to give to Him today is going to be blessed. So we're going to shake off our despair. We're going to get rid of our doubt today. And how we do that is we step into obedience. We get a yes in our spirit. We just know and we trust. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. It doesn't make sense. But I trust, Lord, that when I obey and when I do the hard things, when I believe for the things that you're asking of me, when I do that, that you're going to partner with me. And I'm going to see the miraculous. I'm going to see a miracle.
Yes, Jesus.
I believe that we've said it already, and I'm going to say it again. This is an incredible season for this church. We're going to see miracles.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to see miracles.
Yes.
You're going to see a miracle. Oh, I feel some doubt in the room. You can believe it for your church family and you can believe it for somebody else, but you are going to see miracles in your life. Do we believe it?
Yes.
Jesus is wanting to partner with this church today. He wants to do something great in this region. Amen. This is a regional church. We've got a city to reach. We've got surrounding counties with no gospel. This is a regional church. We've got many nets to throw out. And he wants to partner with this church. He wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with your family today. He's simply looking for a yes, for an obedient spirit that will trust and obey. Let's all lift up our hands. Let's talk to him this morning. Let's get a yes in our spirit. We don't need music right now. Let's just get a yes in our spirit. Lord, whatever you ask of me, I say yes. My soul says yes. Lord, my spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Help me, God, with my unbelief. Help me with my doubts and my fears and my questions. Lord, my answer will be yes. My answer will always be yes. Whatever you ask, whatever you desire of me. Push into those deep places of your heart today, church. Those nets that you've held on to for a little bit too long. Those nets that you haven't wanted to surrender to him. Those nets that you've been tending and mending on your own, that you've been cleaning on your own. But he's saying today, cast it out and let me show you what I can do. Do not fear. He spoke those words to Peter, and he's speaking them to you today. Do not fear. Cast out your nets and let him work the miraculous in you. Let him do what only he can do today. Jesus, we put our trust in you. Jesus, we give it all to you. Lord, we cast it all before you today, Jesus. Even the hidden places, Lord. Even the places deep within that we haven't yet surrendered. God, we surrender them today, Jesus. We give you our discouragement, Lord. Lord, we don't hide it from you, for nothing is hidden from you, God. You know when we're discouraged. You know when we're tired and weary, God. You know when we're ready to give up, Lord. And we give it to you today, God. We surrender it to you, Jesus. We trust and we believe, God. Hallelujah. We believe you, Lord, for the miraculous. We believe that our story is not over and that you will step in on that shoreline at any minute, God, and you will encourage us and you will prove yourself to us time and time and time again. You are faithful. You are true. You are good. You've never lost a battle and you never will. Hallelujah. You are victorious, God. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too impossible for you, God. There is nothing that our God cannot do. And we put our trust in you. And we put our trust in you, Jesus. Jesus.